JSE-listed technology solutions company EOH released their half-year results. For the 6 months ended January 2021, the company reported revenue coming in at 4.4 billion rand. That's down 29% on the same period ended January 2020. Their headline loss per share situation improved to a loss of 60 cents a share. That's compared to a headline loss of 350 cents a share, an improvement of 83%. While the pandemic has had its negative effects, the company says it's seen more demand in some areas with the increased adoption of digital solutions. Well, to tell us more about the performance of the company, I'm joined on the line by Megan Paidagadu. She's the CFO of EOH. Thanks very much, Megan, for joining us. So you're reflecting an 83% improvement in your headline loss position compared to the previous period. And you're also reporting an improved EBITDA margin at 8.3% compared to 7.8%. Just unpack these improvements in performance for us.
Sure. So I think for us as a new management team, we took over 2 years ago, and for the first time we've seen an operating profit coming through in the business at 59 million rand. We have obviously, from a HEPS perspective, made a loss of just 60 cents a share. But what's been significant for us is the turnaround from a year ago. And really what's making us continue to make a loss is as a result of our debt and the interest burden we carry as a result. And then also from a legal entity structure perspective, we are still in the process of resolving our legal entity structure and creating an efficient structure, which would then also optimize tax. So from an overall business perspective, our business is delivering a core operating profit. It really is more around sorting out structural issues. And that's been seen over the last three halves.
Yes.
We've seen improvements in both GP margin and EBITDA margin over the last 18 months.
So in terms of the debt picture, does that still remain fairly elevated? Were you able to bring that down somewhat during the period?
So if we look to 2 years ago, we were sitting with debt of 4 billion. We're now sitting at debt with just over 2 billion. Mm-hmm. And in the past period, we paid down 433 million of debt. We are in the late phases of looking at selling two of our other IP assets. And we would expect once those assets are sold to further reduce our debt. I think key for us is to unlock our capital structure and have an appropriate structure to move forward and start looking forward and looking at growth opportunities.
Yeah. So you indicate that part of the reason for the 29% decline in revenue was the fact that you made some strategic disposals. Just remind us of what those disposals were. And given what you've just said about, you know, looking forward about getting rid of some more assets, how do you ensure that you don't do that without, throwing the baby out with the bathwater?
Sure. So we realized when we walked into EOH that we were never going to deleverage through operating profits and operating cash generated, and it always was going to have to be through a deleverage of sale assets. Mm. We've got two parts to our business, Nextech and our IOCO. IOCO is our core systems integrated business, and it was always that we wanted to protect that business and then get rid of non-core, more higher risk type assets. And that's what we've done within the Nextech space. So the biggest disposals we've done over the period have been Dennis, which is a dental insurance business that we had, and then Syntel, which was also one of our IP assets, but was standalone. And so for us, it's really been core to look after the IOCO business because that's what gives us the biggest opportunity going forward. And we have seen there's been a significant adoption of digitization, which plays to our strengths.
Yes.
As a result of COVID. So that's been quite exciting to see. And in our digital business, where we do automation, cloud application development, over the last trailing 12 months, we've seen revenue growth of 15% there. And then also in our digital industries business, which also automates, but automates in the heavy industry and mining space, we've seen growth of 33% there. So those trends are coming through strongly and bode well for the future for us.
Yeah. So how have you been managing to handle your cost curve?
So costs have been a very specific focus of ours in ensuring that the business that remains has an appropriate cost structure. And if you look at our costs and the way we've unpacked our costs, if we look at the base costs, well, the base business lift, we've actually seen a 5% reduction in costs over the last 6 months. So it is a core focus and making sure that we are anti-fragile in terms of handling whatever the economy throws at us.
Yeah. So we see that you had to shed some jobs in the process.
There have been jobs shed, but it hasn't been that significant from a retrenchment perspective. Okay. So we had just over 1,500 jobs that were lost. Less than 10% of that related to retrenchments. The majority of it actually resulted from businesses being sold, where that's the staff that left the EOH stable went with those businesses.
Right. So 2020 was the year that digitization just accelerated out of control. And of course, you say that you've taken advantage of that and you've seen increased business as a result of that. So does that mean that you're also going to be investing further so that you can keep up with the demand, so to speak?
So I think from our perspective, we are already well positioned in certain areas to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
In our IOKA digital space, where we can help clients go into the cloud, we have invested in relationships. So your more new age, born in the cloud type of application. So we've signed partnerships with Salesforce and IFS, who are big players in the cloud space. So we're investing in those type of OEM relationships. And then the one other area that we would like to invest in the future is we have IP businesses within the EOH stable that are at the beginning of growing. And we've got one business called Impressions, which does digital signatures, which we've seen good growth on that, mm-hmm. albeit it's a small component. So we would be looking to invest in our platform IP type of businesses going forward.
So you say that you're now somewhat leaner and meaner and better able to do business with the aim of improving your margins and remaining what you call anti-fragile. So how are you going to go about achieving these goals? And what's your outlook for 2021 as you do so?
So in terms of being anti-fragile, it's always about making sure that we focus on our working capital management, making sure we're on top of that and are proactive in that space, and ensuring that our debtors book and our credit management is well run. And then it's also creating a cost structure that can adapt to changes and also changing trends within the economy and within business, and being able to adapt and take advantage of that. I think if we look at some of the wins that we've seen in the last 6 months, we've had some really nice wins with multi-year contracts with customers. There's one, a large insurance company, where we're redesigning their network, and it's a three-year contract, over 200 million contract that we've won there. We've won nice contracts in the telco space, where we're automating their contact center for the customer, also over 3 years. And so it's making sure that we build good revenue in terms of annuity revenue, and also do business with blue chip customers and multi-year contracts.
That was Megan Paidugadu. She's the CFO at EOH.